A number of years ago, the founder of a well-known Christian organization responded to a question about tithing in his blog. The man asking the question was married with three young children. The family had no savings. They were $75,000 in debt. They had been tithing, but said if they stopped tithing, they could use the money to pay off the debt and pay it off much faster. So the question that he asked the person who wrote the blog is, do you think that would be biblically wrong? Or does God want us to suffer and pay the price for immature and irresponsible attitudes toward money? Our financial situation, he says, is a large source of tension in our marriage. And, you know, as any of you who are married, you know that money can be the source of a great deal of tension. I feel I have let our family down. Now, here's part of the response, of the founder's response. No one else can tell you what God's will is for anything unless it is specifically commanded or prohibited by Scripture. In my opinion, tithing falls into the category that is commanded in the Old Testament and confirmed by Jesus in the New Testament at Matthew chapter 23, verse 23, and I'm going to read that to you. The verse says, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, you're hypocrites, for ye pay tithe and mint and anise and cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. These ye ought to have done, and not to leave the other undone." Jesus was not confirming the tithe when he made that statement. As all of you know, Jesus preached the kingdom of God. Okay, and we know that the tithe was part of the Old Testament. What Jesus was simply doing was acknowledging what they were doing. In other words, the religious leader placed more emphasis on the tithe than they did on ministering to the people, was the bottom line. Given the tithe was more sacred to the religious leaders than judgment, mercy, and faith. My advice, the founder said, is to keep tithing. I know it's counterintuitive, but God honors those who honor him. You're going to get through this. And then this is the next thing he said. Make God bless your decision. Make God bless your decision. Yes, sir, make. M-A-K-E. I was hoping he would say, may God bless yours, but he said make, M-A-K-E. Then he closes, "Men, I hope you already tithe, but if not, I would like to encourage you to test and see if it's true that by tithing, God will watch over you as he has watched over me." The founder's advice to the struggling husband and father, ride this situation out and continue to struggle because God demands the tithe. I'm going to use a word in church I hope does not get me in trouble. What a damnable teaching. That God is more interested in the tithe than he is in you. In essence, he's telling the man and his family, your needs are secondary when it comes to giving the tithe. And is that not what we read in Matthew chapter 23, verse 23? Okay? The founder's response ignores verses like 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 12 through 13, and then 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7. I'm going to read both of those. And Brother Gary covered these last night. And I would dare say that sometime during this week, you're probably going to hear many of these verses repeated over and over. For if there be first a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not. For I mean not that other men be eased and ye burdened. Every man according, and this is 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7, every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. And we know that the man who was in debt was not giving because he loved God. He was giving grudgingly. I want to read this verse, 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7, out of the Amplified. Let each one give as he has made up his own mind and purposed in his heart, not reluctantly or sorrowfully or under compulsion. But God loves, he takes pleasure in, prizes above other things, and is unwilling to abandon or do without a cheerful, joyous, prompt to do it giver whose heart is in his giving. Hallelujah. In my imagination, here is how our Heavenly Father would have responded to this struggling father and husband. I know your heart, and I know you have acted foolishly with your money. Take care of your family. If you will spend some time with me, I will give you the wisdom you need to get out of debt. And once you are out of debt, don't be foolish with your money ever again. I love you. I love your family. You are my son, and my ability to bless you is not dependent on how much money you give. It is dependent on how much faith you have in what my son accomplished with his death and resurrection. If you will seek me, I will show you what you need to do. Now, we know that in the body of Christ, in the church, and as Brother Bronx said last night, the church at large, tithing is a stronghold. And we know that a stronghold is something that we believe that has taken such deep roots that no one can pull it out of us unless you have a jackhammer, like you going to jackhammer going against concrete. Okay? Now, we often hear the word stronghold, and it has a negative connotation. Okay? Ladies and gentlemen, I have several strongholds. Okay? One of my strongholds is that the Bible says that this book is inspired by God. It is God-breathed. That's a stronghold for Barry. Okay? That's a stronghold for Barry. You can't pull that. You can't pull me away from that. Okay? You can't pull me away from that. The Bible also says that Jesus is the only way to heaven. That's a stronghold for Barry. And you can't pull that out of me. Okay? And like Brother Bronk did last night, he went through several things that the Bible says is truth and the world disagrees with. All of those things that he talked about last night and the Bible talks against are strongholds for Barry. You can't pull me away from those things, ladies and gentlemen, because either the Bible is true or it's not. Okay? So what I want to do this morning with 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9, 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8, and then with Philippians chapter 4, verse 19, we're going to create some new financial strongholds. Not to tithe, we're going to create godly strongholds. Okay? They're going to be so ingrained in us that no one is going to be able to pull them out of us. Okay? 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9. For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. For ye know the grace. No one is going to be able to take that away. That's a stronghold that no one is going to be able to take away. We know the grace. Okay, in chapter 9, verse 8, it says, and God is able to make all grace abound us. Why is he able to do that? Because we know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, you can't take that. I don't care what you do. That is a stronghold for Barry. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. And then finally, Philippians chapter 4, verse 19. It says, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Why by Christ Jesus? Because we know the grace. Hallelujah. It all goes back to grace. Okay? So these are three verses, ladies and gentlemen, that should become strongholds for you. No one should be able to tell you anything different. Amen? Amen. All right, everyone, please stand.